following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
We've been in a series these last couple of weeks called Amazing God, and one of the things that we were trying to have us feel deeply at almost an emotional level was the truth of the bigness of God. And sometimes we can talk about these kinds of things, and somehow it misses me in the sense that I actually need a picture to grab a hold of what that actually means. We did that the last couple of weeks through just some real shots, real photos through Hubble Sights telescope, and we shot into the universe all over the place, traveled where no man has gone before. And it was, for me, extremely inspiring. And I say that because it's an amazing thing to think how big things are out there, how beautiful things are out there, and sometimes we can't see past the red light we're waiting to get through the intersection with, right, because of the way life works. Excuse me. So we explored that a little bit the last few weeks because it's this big God that has decided that he would come down out of the heavens in the beautiful heavens that he created, that God would come down and be with us and actually be born just like all of us were as a baby. It's the Christmas story. But I think the gap between the bigness and what God is all placed within the beautiful universe, and the story that we're going to look at today, I think it's important for us to actually feel the downshift, you know, that takes place from a God who's that big, that's creative, that amazing, would actually continue to be amazing in that he decided to come and actually become like one of us. It really is quite an amazing story because it's an amazing God. Matthew chapter 2 is the story that we're going to look at this morning. And let me read it, and then we'll see what can happen here this morning. It's a great story. I love Christmas. I just want to really make sure that my heart is aligned with what it is that the story of Christmas is really to be about. So that's what this morning is for. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east.'" Talking a lot about stars these last couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about another star today. "For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." So there's a historical event that takes place. And God wanted to make sure that everyone's attention was upon what was going to take place. So he used the star. I mean, the universe is full of them. And so he chose, in this historical event, to just use a star. A star to give direction. A star to give some kind of guidance to this group called the Magi. Now, why them? Was it because they were so wise? Well, maybe. But I think that God knew these men were actually going to do something with the star that he placed up in the sky. You see, I think wisdom, and that's what we really do want to talk about today, guidance from God, and in the story even of Jesus being born, God's guidance is available to you and I, friends, and you have to understand that that's true. God's guidance is something that we can actually cling hold to and believe that is available for us wherever we are. And we often call that wisdom. Oftentimes it's just wisdom. God, what is it that you have for me to know? What is it that you want for me to do? God, what is your wisdom? What's going on? Magi had a star, and they needed to decide what they were going to do. So when we talk about what the story is, as we unfold that this morning, I want to just have you understand that a lot of what we're talking about here this morning has to do with just wanting to be, you know, brought to a place where God can guide you and I from today to where he wants us to go today, from today where he wants us to go this week. But it's all about who we follow. And the Magi, all they had is a star. That's all they had. And so within this star, there's something that they chose to follow because they knew that there was something. They knew that there was something that they needed to, you know, move toward. And God has done that, you know, because that's really the message of the first Christmas, just as true as it is today. God has always revealed stars and led people in different areas. Sometimes stars can be a book. Sometimes stars can be a struggle. Sometimes a star might be a friend's word, maybe an encouraging word, maybe a word with edge. But God is really into making whatever it is you need a star. He'll give you what you need to lead you to a more wise place. In Israelites' days, it was a pillar of fire. Just as the Magi's, it was a star. Daniel's star was prayer. I mean, he sat and he committed himself to pray three times a day, and there was something of God guided that young. He gave him a star. The angel Gabriel revealed was kind of the star to Mary that she was actually going to birth while being a virgin, no kidding, a son. Still others, God uses a storm as a star, like in the story of Jonah. But for sure, God gives stars for people to somehow see, and the question will be, you know, what are we going to do with that star? And God knew the Magi would do something with the star. And so God does reveal that to you and I too. Again, a lot of times it's just through the challenges that we walk through. Those challenges that we want to be relieved of, oftentimes those are the very challenges that guide us to where it is that God actually wants us. Kind of like a star. And we have to watch what it is that God is up to and then make a decision as to what we'll do with that. You know, like the Magi, I think we too can develop a kind of wisdom, a kind of understanding of what it is that God is up to. But there's a few things that I think the story helps us understand, some specifics. And the first really is this. There needs to be something within us, something within me, a decision that I make. And the decision is this. I will worship God even if I don't understand everything that's going on. I will worship God even when I'm quite confused, actually, about what is taking place by way of circumstances around me. So listen, verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2, it says this. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So even though they didn't understand why God had chosen a star when they were being led, the wise men just followed it anyway. I really wonder how myself would have responded if I were a part of that posse. Star in the sky? We're going to do what? We're going to go where? And why? I would need a little information, probably. There's something about these men that I really enjoy to just read the story again, and that is, you know, when they arrived, they probably had a lot of questions. Could you imagine arriving to what you believe God is really behind? I mean, they knew enough about the prophecies that were foretold about what was taking place that star was leading them to, but then... they come and they see this poor example of poverty. I mean, there's a poor family. There's a baby in a manger, in a dirty manger. But all of the questions that I would have had going on in my head, we're told they worshiped. They worshiped anyway. Worship is one of these words. It comes from an old English word that actually means to give worth to. It's actually like worth-ship. And there's something about what was really known to the Magi, at least. That is, there's something very valuable here. And I am going to worship what it is that is in that manger. They worshiped. And so there's something about this that I just think is so important as we begin to just learn from the story of Matthew 2. We want to learn how it is that God has placed stars in front of you and in front of I. There's something I think that we have to just really remain clear on, and that is there's going to be some things that we just don't understand. Will you worship anyway? See, they worshiped the Magi because they understood there was something that God was up to, so they gave their attention and they gave their affection to this little one in the manger. It says in Deuteronomy 6, "You shall have one God and you shall worship him only." And there was something within the hearts of the Magi. They understood that, they knew that, and they did that. Matthew 22:37, kind of a key text for our church, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." There's something about just making that decision, just making that choice, that making that commitment and that covenant that says, you know, God, I know enough to know I am going to give attention and affection to you. I don't know everything else. I don't even know why things are taking place in my life the way that they are, but I will worship you. I will trust you. I will walk through what it is you have me walk through. I will give worth and value to you. That is quite a decision. And that's what the Magi really demonstrated. Remember, when you give worship or value or attention to something, we actually determine what it is then that the priorities of our life will be. Listen, friends, listen carefully, because if we give such worth or value to money, just play this out a little bit, connect the dots. What happens in our life? Our life begins to take shape based upon that being primary in our life. If we prioritize people, it's so important to us that we are favored by people. If that's what we do, if that's what we give worth to, if that's what we place our main value and our priority on, that's going to determine a bit of the direction of our life. If we do the same thing with our job, if we place primary importance on that which is our career, that will determine outcomes. So when we place ultimate affection, attention on God, there's something right about what takes place. And the Magi, all they had is a star. It's all they had. And they looked upon that star. And they had a lot of questions about the star. And they inquired, but they gave value. They gave value to the God that they believed was guiding and directing them. There's a book in the Bible that dedicates a whole book to a man named Job. That in spite of circumstances, in spite of the hardest of times, Job valued God. Job worshipped, in a way, the God that he was very confused by. And we too, we really do need to come to that point where, you know, if we really truly want to be guided by God and to have the wisdom that God promises his kids, there's going to have to be something within you and I. We choose and we decide, look, I'm going to worship, I'm going to give value, I'm going to give my affection to God. Because I know it's right. And whatever circumstances come my way, and whatever questions that I may have answered or may not, I am going to continue to worship. Just as the Magi came into the manger, they bowed, they worshiped, they gave value to the little guy. It's a beautiful part, I think, of the story. Now, there's another thing that I think we have to also understand in this story, too, and that is we really do need to respond, not only to just give value, not only to just give attention to, not only just choose with our heart and our affections toward God, but we actually, I think we see in this story, we have to respond in some way. Listen to the verse 4. Matthew 2, it says, "And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born." That's actually Herod that's doing the inquiring. We'll see a little bit later as to how shallow that inquiry really was. But this much is for sure. We're all called to inquire of the Lord. We're all called to really, you know, stare at and try to understand, what is it, God, that you actually have for me to do? Let me take a moment to just talk about one of the things that I want to, and I just pray that will take place in our church, and that is where we all as a family, as a community of faith, we just become regular people that do our devotions. We are people that we just become so comfortable, and it's such a regular rhythm and pattern of our life where we open the book and we inquire of the Lord and we ask what it is, God, that you have for me today personally now. I mean, that we trust the book, that we allow ourselves to be, you know, just kind of showered by the truths of the book. There's something about the book that I believe every one of us need. And I know some of you say, and I would agree with what many of you say, and that is, you know, say, Mike, I know that I should be, but I read and I don't understand half of what I'm reading. And I want to say this to you. I said, way to go, because you're understanding half of a lot that a lot of people don't. A lot of people, they don't understand 90% of what they're reading. And I would always say this, then just obey the 10. Just obey the 10. You don't have to understand everything that the book has for you, but there's always something. We've been walking through the book of Proverbs. And if you've read through the book of Proverbs, you'll notice that it's just kind of like these nuggets that kind of hit you. And sometimes they're not even connected. It's just like saying upon saying upon saying upon saying. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I'm reading through Proverbs. And I've really enjoyed the reading through this season that we've been in. But there's times where I'm just reading that, oh, okay, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. It's like, ooh, slow down. That one got me. And oftentimes it's because of the situation that I'm in life. Or maybe it's just the Spirit saying, you better pause because there's something I want to tell you, Mike, about what that proverb is saying. So if you were to look in the book of Proverbs over the last number of years that I've read through it, I've underlined every time one of those times takes place, and more and more and more and more is getting underlined, just simply because, well, the next time I read it, there's something new that comes off that page. Friends, I just want to encourage you that there's something of a truth about inquiring of God, inquiring of the Lord. And we've tried to make this as manageable as we can as a church, but we do take the responsibility. You know, you just say this. You know, Jesus really made it clear as to what we're to do, and that is we're really not to do an awful lot of other things outside of this just to make disciples, though. So, you know, when we think of a community of faith like we have here, one of the things that I really do carry is by way of a kind of a sober reality, and that is, you know, one day I'm going to be dead, and one day I'm going to be gone, and one day I will have to give an account. And I want to be able to believe that I led well and that I call people to the book. Because there's a lot of things I say and I could be off the wall. There's some things I say, I'm sure I am off the wall. Stay true to the book, friends. You will not go wrong on the book. So I want to just encourage you. We have reading guides that are new, fresh off the press for January. And we lay it out for a 30-day period, and it's just something that you can turn, read. We've got journals available, but inquire of the Lord. That's really what, you know, the point of the story really is, too. Inquire of the Lord. And I guess I would ask you, just as you think through the words that I've just said about devotions, I'm pretty sure most of you have kind of dialogue going on where you'd say, you know, I know that's right. I know I should. And I guess I'd like to ask, what is it for some of you that haven't moved there yet? what is it that's stalling you? Because, man, if you could help me understand that, maybe there's something I could do to help you. If there's something that, you know, within our environment, because we've lifted this now for many, many years, and we're going to continue to, but we do it out of love. We do it out of love. You need the book. You need the book. I love you. You need the book. God promises to reveal so much through the book. So I really pray that as a church, we're gonna move through, that many of you are going to brace that challenge, and in the new year, you're going to see stars in ways that might be completely revealing to you in a new thing and in a new way. In Matthew 2, back to the story, verse 7, it says this, "Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared." He wanted to know. He was curious. He wanted to know, you guys received a star. When did that take place? "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I may come and worship him.'" Now, Herod did not respond to the Lord's leading at all. There's something else going on. Even though he knew that the Magi inquired about the event in the Bible, there was some understanding about what was going on. He knew that. But he was not convinced enough that he actually got up on his camel and went to Bethlehem himself. He just wasn't. He was troubled, but not convinced. Now, like Herod, we may not like what God is leading us toward as well. We may not like what it is that it appears that God is laying before us by way of challenge, or he's asking us to do. However, friends, however, we need to respond. We must respond. We have to respond. God's placed his leadings there. Will we respond? Herod didn't. He was troubled, but he did not respond. I remember counseling a man, and his marriage was failing, and there was some real challenges behind the marriage for sure. And all of these are just a heartbreaker. But I remember there was just some clear things of this guy's story where it was just, you know, I want to be really, really careful with the words I remember saying to this him. I want to be really, really careful about the words that I'm going to say to you, but I think you need to really come alongside your wife and love her in a way that by your own admission you never have. Like, I think you really need to move toward you. I think you need to move toward your wife. And so when he came to me, he was looking more for, I don't know, but not from what he certainly didn't enjoy what he heard from me. That was clear. And I remember him, you know, I could just feel the walls go up. I could feel the resistance go up. And I just, those are always really difficult because you know that there's something probably that he needs to hear. And I remember when he left my office thinking, that was a bust. That was a bust. He's so convinced that there's a tombstone waiting to put on his marriage. Like, he's not even trying. He's not even going to attempt to come alongside. He's not going to respond. He doesn't want to respond. He's concluded, and as you can imagine, it was done. And so that's the sad part. I think God has really, truly allowed us to see some things. Will we respond? There's a relationship, you know. There's something that is broken, and by you moving toward that person, you could redeem it. You could save it. You could remedy it, but you don't. Well, because it's just so awkward, or it's so hard to do, or it's so, I don't think that I actually had the most to do with the breakdown. I'm going to play the numbers game. They're more at fault. We do that all the time. Yet God sometimes, by just allowing us to just see a star, will we respond? There's a lot of times that God is just saying, you know, would you do that? But we're troubled by it. We just don't respond. We're a lot like Herod. Troubled, a lot of troubled, You just don't respond. So if you want to develop the kind of wisdom, if you will, as the Magi had, we need to respond. Give worship to, even when we're confused, but then respond to the leading and engage that. Here's a final point from the story I want to make, and that is just simply this. Let's leave differently than when we arrived. And I pray that for me today, and I pray that for you today. Let's leave differently than when we arrived. Listen to this passage from Matthew chapter 13. You'll get the point when I explain it a little bit. But it's this parable of the farmer who's sowing seed. It says, a farmer went out to sow a seed. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because, well, they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. And then these words, hey, he who has ears, let him hear. God grabs your attention. And he uses all different kinds of stars to do that. Maybe it's the struggle. Maybe it's the friend. Maybe it's a podcast. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's whatever. But God's got your attention. And there's something going on. And there's this prompting for you to respond to something for change. And I think the beautiful part of this verse is just saying this. If we're really serious about this, we can actually have our heart move from dry soil, thorny soil, rocky soil, to good soil. To good soil. Soil that will take the seed. Soil that would actually allow the process to birth and it'll grow and it'll become clear to us what it is that God is after. But he wants change. He longs for us to leave differently than when we arrived. Matthew 2, verse 12. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, that's the Magi now receiving instruction, they departed for their own country by another way. They leave differently than when they came. Listen to this verse from Ezekiel 46:9. Just interesting. This was a pattern that was taking place in the Old Testament rhythm of worship. Listen to these words. But when the people of the land come before the Lord, he who enters by way of the north gate shall go out by the south gate. And he who enters by way of the south gate shall go out by the north gate. No one shall return by way of the gate by which he entered. So here's the picture, friends. When the people came to give worth and value and affection and attention to God, to worship the Lord, when they did that, they would enter through one gate and they exited through another. And it became a physical exercise to remind them of the spiritual principle. You leave differently than when you arrive. That's a beautiful picture. That's what they did. So if you're going through a struggle, if you're going through a challenge, and we all are, we all do. Maybe you're not in one now. But trust me, it's coming. You know, it's just the way life works. But when that does take place, why don't you just give God the reins of your life? Allow God to take what it is that you have and for him to just lead you. And in a way, exit differently today than when you came. To leave this place differently than when you came. I mean, to just say, God, again, I am going to just, by way of absolute submission, give you my life. That is something we all require to do. Daily, at least. I do. Friends, I have so many things about the way I see life. If I'm not careful, I can sometimes say, you know,
even after a time of devotions with God, as I journal, say, you know, okay, now, God, I'm going to mold people around me and make people around me into the image that I want them to be. And then that's the reason why for me, is I'm just nuts that way and wrong that way and deprived that way. I really have to every day sign off. No, God, you mold me and you make me. You mold me and you make me. Because I can get that mixed up so quickly. So today, to leave differently than when you and I arrived, well, that's a worship movement right there. And that's what I really pray for each one of us. So as we think about, you know, different kinds of stars, you know, as we've gone through looking at so many different stars, there's this star that moved the Magi such that they actually moved toward where it was that it was going. And when they landed at the destination, they gave worship. They gave worship amongst every single question that they would have had. Beautiful picture. But they responded to the prompting. They responded. They acted out. They actually did what God had asked them to do. Will you and I? And to leave differently than the way that we came. Hey, listen. You know, as we think about Christmas in the next few days, I would love for it to be just said of your home and mine. There was something that really was right about the season. That we settled ourselves down enough, that we slowed things down enough, that we actually really got clear. There's a God that loved to be worshipped. And maybe, friends, for the first time, that looks like this. Pick a time. Pick a time throughout your Christmas season. Maybe it's Christmas Eve. Maybe it's Christmas Day. And I know that the activity flies. But let me just say, dads, maybe it would be really good for you to just say, hey, everybody, just want to take five here. You just come in the living room, and you turn to Matthew chapter 2. And just read the story. Just read the story. Read the story in around your environment in such a way where it's just, we're just going to pause right now because there's something really important that took place 2,000 years ago, and that's really what we want to do. That's giving value. That's giving worship to what it is that the season is about. It would be a beautiful thing to do if we would just all settle in amongst ourselves. We're going to do that. We're just going to take, I'm not going to make it weird, but we're just going to read the Christmas story in our family in some way. And some of you, I know you have that tradition. Maybe some of you, you just needed to be reminded that you could become a part of that tradition and do that. So, you know, I think that would be a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. I pray peace on this family we call Sunridge. I pray peace in the middle of a lot of hectic things that are going on. I pray peace and just an understanding of God's love for you as we engage and move toward Christmas. It's a wonderful thing because we have an amazing God. Worship team, I want to ask you to come on up, but I do want to just keep it. I want to lead us in a time where we would just have some reflection right now where, you know, for some of you, you've heard me say, you know, just these three simple points of the story. Probably a story that you're very familiar with in the sense that you knew that there was wise men that were led by a star that came to a manger. But did you know about all of what was going on within their heart? Maybe you identify most with the question of God. Maybe that's a part where you find yourself today, where you just say, you know, I don't know a lot about the person of God. So I'm not sure I should really be giving worship. I mean, really heartfelt. I can say the words on the screen. I can maybe even pray. But really, honestly, from my heart, I don't know if I'm placing that kind of value toward God. To learn from the Magi. And they worshiped. They brought gold, frankincense, myrrh. I mean, they worshiped.
Maybe you find yourself in, you know, you don't think that you know enough, and so therefore you just think, you know, I got to learn more before I actually respond. I want to call you to respond with exactly what it is you know now. Because I really do believe that the Lord wants every one of us to respond to his star, whatever that guidance is for him. You understand, don't you, that Jesus came. He was birthed as a child. He grew to be a man. They crucified him because of our sin. Didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And he's provided this beautiful plan. And this plan is just simply this. Okay, you guys, you've seen what I've done. It's all good to go. Now I'm leaving. Now it's up to you. Oh, by the way, I'll have my spirit come down on you. And the same spirit that raised me is in you. Well, you have a big responsibility on your hands. It's like, man, nice if you would have hung around. Oh, my spirit is with you. Okay. Can't see the spirit. Trust me. Okay. I pray that we would be men and women tenacious in our understanding of God being in us, that we can do what it is that he's asked us to do and respond. Maybe you need to just hear that word today. I need to respond to what it is that has been, you know, pounding in my chest now for a while, and I'm just not responding. Friends, respond. Respond with that which you know. And ultimately, it's to change, isn't it? Like, we want to be a people that actually change, leaving differently than that which we arrived. We're going to have a time of communion. It's a beautiful opportunity for us to just give worship to a God who's done so much for us, laid his life down. And by broken bread that represents the broken body of Jesus, and by dipping that into the juice that just represents spilled blood, we are giving worth to, we're giving value to Jesus and what he has done for us. And so I want to invite you to stand with me, if you will. And I want you to think, too, about what it is that, you know, I've just said. Before you come down the aisle and you take up your piece of bread and you're going, check your heart, friends, and just say, you know, am I going forward because of that's what I should do now? Before you do that, ask this question. Do I want to really worship God? Because if I do, then by me walking down and grabbing my bread and putting it in there, I want Jesus to know absolutely clearly that as much as I know, I'm giving worship. With every question that I have, I'm giving worship. And I will respond to that which God has asked of me to do. If you've brought an offering and you want to just give, you know, that as a worship offering as well, there's going to be a place where you can place that as well. If you're a guest, please don't feel any obligation for those of us that make this church our home. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your book. I thank you for the truths that it holds. And I want to pray for each of us, brothers and sisters in this place right now, God, that by your Spirit, the Spirit that you say you've given to us, that actually leads us and guides us. It's God, I pray that that Spirit that is within us would really be personalizing right now what it is that we've been talking about. What is it that each of us needs to hear specifically? Just as we pause, I want to pray we'd be attentive to listen. I love these people. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this family. I pray that as we walk, step by step, day by day, we would just become more and more confident with being led by you, just as the Magi were would that be said of us as well. And so now as we just celebrate communion, and I do mean celebrate, Lord, I thank you for your wonderful gift to us. You are an amazing God, and we love you. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful family. And I just pray, God, your blessing on each as we engage this Christmas season. Lord, as we think of people that, you know, come to mind and we care and love them, would we be able to maybe sometime in the next couple of weeks draw near to them and show them that they're loved and cared for too? May we be a people that really reflects your fame and your glory, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.